Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
High noon! Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Celtics lose their opener last night. Choke it away against the Sixers. I don't think the season is lost.
No, they should be able to bounce back.
But that was a disappointing one.
Yeah, it was. You had the game won.
Especially when Embiid gave Philly nothing. You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it all fell apart late in that game. Jaylen Brown can't even get a touch down the stretch. So we'll circle back to that with all your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Stay tuned. 45 minutes from now, 12:45. Most Thursdays, we get you a key for madness. We have one coming your way later on this hour, so go nowhere. But every Thursday at high noon, Keith.
Yeah, that's right.
We like to go on the clock.
A lot of pressure.
Sometimes.
A lot of pressure. We do this live, by the way.
Oh,
people
live.
Might think we tape these. These are live.
You hear that little clock ticking down.
Oh, yeah.
That gets in your head sometimes.
Oh, I start to sweat a little bit.
That's why we only give the listeners 30 seconds if they want to go on the clock.
Yeah, you could try your best.
It's only half the pressure.
Correct. Still pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Not as much.
Who among us can last for 60 seconds?
We'll I'm see. Constantly on a 30-second clock. But yeah.
But anyway, sometimes we have like an off-season plan.
Yep.
Trade deadline plan. Maybe
game preview.
Yeah, maybe a preview for that weekend's
yes.
game.
Yeah, yeah.
But every once and then, when we go on the clock, Keith, we like to embrace debate.
Yeah, we do it versus each other.
But this one is very much versus each other.
Yeah.
So we are going to debate why Drake May is the MVP through 7 weeks, why he is not the MVP through 7 weeks.
Seven!
Pick a side. Embrace debate.
Okay.
So I will start here, Keith. Nick, if you want to put me on the clock. I'm going to tell you why Drake May is the MVP of the league through 7 weeks in just 60 seconds. He's already made the leap, Keith. Leads the NFL in completion percentage over 75%. Second in quarterback rating, top 10 in both yards and touchdowns. So by any measure, he qualifies via stats. He's also a dual threat quarterback. 200 yards this year, two scores on the ground. I think that'll help his case. Plus, he's taking care of the football. Only two interceptions. He's cleaned that up from a year ago, though he's also lost two fumbles. The Patriots are good this year. Usually this is a team award, at least some team success. You need to be good on the field. The Pats are 5-2. They're the number two seed in the AFC. I think that's going to help his cause. We also have recent history. Year two quarterbacks winning the MVP. Patrick Mahomes broke out year two, won the MVP in 2018. Lamar Jackson did the same. Year two breakout 2019. I think there's precedent here. I'm telling you, it's a buying opportunity. Drake May plus 700 FanDuel, plus 800 DraftKings. Buy in now. Because he's the MVP so far, and he may just win it at the end of the year.
Whew.
How about that?
Wow.
Okay.
Well, you convinced me.
Did I?
I don't even need to go, Nick.
Okay.
Wrong!
You're laying down your sword?
No, I'm picking up my sword.
Oh.
All right, here we go. All right, Drake May is not the MVP. He's having a great season so far through seven games. He has made the leap, like you said, Jones. He should be a contender for MVP, but he's not. The MVP. The MVP really should be a guy who won't win it, and that's Jonathan Taylor. The Indianapolis Colts came in with a 7.5 over-under for their win total. They have the best record in the league at 6-1. He has over 100 more rushing yards than the next highest running back. He has far and away the most rushing touchdowns, and is the main reason why that team is leading their division and the NFL. But if you want to talk about quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, you can't ignore. I hate to say it, but it's true. More yards passing, more touchdown passes than Drake May. He has more rushing yards than Drake May. He has more rushing touchdowns than Drake May. And he's played six games without his best wide receiver. Also, last year, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson tied for the best QBR. Not quarterback rating, but adjusted QBR. Right now, that's a stat where Drake May ranks fourth behind Patrick Mahomes, third, Daniel Jones, two, and Dak Prescott, one.
Woo!
So Drake May, good season, not the MVP.
All right, ipso facto, Keith hates Drake May. That's good to know.
Can't stand him.
He's
awesome. He'd be a top five. They do it differently now. They used to only vote for one guy.
Yeah.
Now is it three or five? There's definitely more players that get votes.
You know what? I was looking at MVP votes last night. It might be three.
Okay, so if you go three on the ballot, I think, again, my ballot, I would have Jonathan Taylor on it. But when you project it out, they never will. They'll have three straight quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, your ballot, submit your ballot right now. Three spots. You would go Taylor Mahomes, May?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taylor Mahomes, May.
Last year, only two players got votes. I'm sorry.
No,
only two
no.
got first place votes. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
A lot.
A lot of players. Yeah.
And 11, a lot of quarterbacks.
11 different players got votes, so maybe it is five.
It might be up to five.
I think to me it's between Mahomes and May now.
Yeah, because Baker Mayfield had a bad game. Your guy Matthew Stafford just had a monster game, so I feel like Stafford's moving up.
And May beat Josh Allen, which, you know,
yeah,
isn't
you can't
the end all. But like through 7 weeks,
yeah.
I don't think Allen's been crazy good, and May beat him. So like through 7 weeks with the data we have, the best argument for Mahomes, and I didn't really even think about going outside a quarterback, Taylor's a great one. The best argument for Mahomes is that he's done more with less than Drake May, which is crazy to think about.
In a weird way. No, I didn't even mention this in my little 60-second spiel.
Okay, well, it's not allowed then. If it wasn't in
this
the 60 seconds,
no,
it's
don't
not
count
allowed.
This. Yeah, the jury, don't listen to this.
Strike this from the record. Strike it from the record.
Okay, approach the bench.
Yeah.
He's throwing literally to Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster, and we know how bad that can be.
And
so he's winning games that way. Now, Drake May has more wins. The Patriots have more wins than Patrick Mahomes, right? It's 5-4.
Is Mahomes still leading them in rushing? He is, right?
Oh, good question.
Or did that change? I think he still leads the Chiefs in rushing.
Oh, that's another good stat. I was surprised to see that he has more rushing touchdowns and yards than Drake May. Drake May is just coming off a big rushing game.
Pacheco passed him last week, but entering play last week, he was their leading rusher through 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's on pace for probably like 600 rushing yards or something, isn't he? Like he's scooting a whole lot more.
Well, that's going to come down now because he is getting receivers back.
No, yeah, no, he is.
100%. And I think they're fixing their running game a little. Pacheco was good. They played the Raiders, but Pacheco was good last week.
I don't know if you guys saw the stat. They had 31 first downs, and the Raiders had like 30 yards in the first half.
Oh, that sounds
so
right.
They ran, like, Breshard Smith had 15 carries in the second half.
Yeah. He also has a big head-to-head win over the Detroit Lions, which if you're looking at like a quality opponent, and he played almost a perfect game in that one. I think it was the game Lamar got hurt, but Lamar started that game and played when they went head-to-head with Baltimore, and he just, I mean, Baltimore's defense is trash, but he carved them up.
Look,
Drake May's got the Buffalo game. Like, that's definitely a signature game.
Mahomes, the last couple of years, it was fashionable to say that offense stinks and he's overrated and he's getting by on reputation.
Yeah.
And by the way, all the Tom Brady people out there, he's 30 now. All the Tom Brady people who are like, well, you're going to need a second chapter and you're going to need to recommit. And will Mahomes recommit? He looks as good as he's ever looked.
Well, and the
honesty.
Scary thing is, as like people that want to protect like the Patriots dynasty and keep the Chiefs away from it, the way the AFC is right now, you're like, ugh, even if it's like an 85% version of the Kansas City Chiefs, that might be good enough to get back to another Super Bowl.
So, not who's going to win it at the end of the year. Through 7 weeks, who has been the MVP? I say it's Drake May. Keith says it is not Drake May. So who's right, who's wrong? And if you want to go on the clock and make your case.
Sure can.
For or against Drake May.
That's right.
617-779-7937. As Keith said, there's a lot of pressure for 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to give you 30 seconds to make your case on the phones if you would like. Meanwhile, circling back to the Celtics last night, like I said, I don't think the season is lost, but I'm
frustrating, though.
I'm disappointed in how it ended, meaning Jaylen Brown didn't get a touch, meaning Peyton Pritchard got multiple shots at the end of the game, which is he went from six man to now he's the guy at the end of the game. That's annoying.
Yeah.
You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. You couldn't finish that out. And I know it's a different league. You'll hear Mazzulla say this. Terp has come in and said this before. We're like, a 20-point lead isn't as safe in today's NBA as it used to be. Fine.
Yeah, I get it. It goes quick. 3-point shot, all that.
13-point fourth-quarter lead at home, opener against Philly. And then, let me add, Joel Embiid looked horrible last night.
He was a non-factor.
As a texter sent in earlier, and I've referenced it a whole bunch, the next person the FBI should look into after they deal with everything with Billups and Rozier and Damon Jones, among others, the next person they should look into is Embiid, hauling his corpse of a body
And
down the court last night.
Yeah.
So Embiid gave them nothing. You had a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you lose that game. I mean, that's just a bad way to choke away a game on opening night.
Yeah, it was devastating because not only did you have the big lead in the fourth quarter, you allowed 42 fourth-quarter points, and they needed every single one of them, the Sixers. That's with some missed free throws down the end. They put up 42 on you one quarter.
With Edgecombe missing those last two free throws.
Yeah,
right.
And they still had that many points. I look back at a couple of possessions prior to the Peyton Pritchard missed shots. Xavier Tillman has a chance to tie the game a foot away from the basket and, like, airballs it. So that was devastating, and that extended the game. But they played the foul game, and they hit a couple shots. Next thing you know, they have an opportunity, and they call a timeout, which Joe Mazzulla didn't even want the timeout, but they call a timeout.
Which is so dumb.
They try to draw something up. Apparently, it was supposed to go to Jaylen Brown, but it never did. So maybe they should have drawn up something better. Maybe Brown should have been more aggressive or whatever. Peyton Pritchard has a bad attempt, but they get bailed out. And, you know, give him, I guess, a little bit of credit for going early enough where you are allowed to have another play. You see that all the time in the NBA. Sometimes they try to make it too cute, try to have like the walk-off buzzer beater, and you're like, hey, you actually can maybe get another shot at it. So anyway, they get one more crack at it, and Pritchard gets another decent look, actually a decent look, and misses that one. And you're like, man, you had this game won. Joel Embiid did nothing. Home opener, all that stuff. Start the season off on the right foot, and you lose. So it's frustrating. And we'll see, you know, where they go from here. They got a game with the Knicks coming up on what, tomorrow?
Yep, on Prime.
So, yeah, it is on Prime. Mm-hmm. That's still annoying to me. Prime and Peacock, right, have like a bunch of games?
Yeah.
It's annoying.
I heard Wick talking about that yesterday. Wick sounded like very...
Give me the TNT games.
He sounded very not on his details about where all these games were going to air. But, yes, tomorrow night is on Prime with the Celtics. And, look, I thought they'd be a top six seed in the East. I still think they should be a top six seed in the East, or will be. If they make the play-in game, meaning they're 7-10, there's some debate as to how successful the year is. Top six, I think, is a good year for them. Top four would be great. Somewhere in the middle would be the play-in game. They have no reason to miss the playoffs entirely. And I don't care what they lost last night. They have enough talent to do that. Although they didn't look great last night defensively, and you were on this, Keith, before. I was like, I'd start Simons and I'd start all your best players.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't start Simons and Pritchard. Not only can you not start them, those guys can't overlap a ton because
I was gonna say, but that's
Swiss cheese out there.
But they should be, you know, as the season plays out, your third and fourth leading scorers. And so, like, if those guys can't play together, like, that's what's tricky about it. Like, I don't want to trade Simons, but I'm also not trying to trade Pritchard. But you can see when they brought him in, you're like, all right, he's a great scorer, but there was always those rumors that they might deal him. And part of a lot of it was the contract, but another thing is just, like, how do they fit on the floor? Like, you couldn't have Isaiah Thomas and Kemba Walker on the same team. You couldn't even have Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker on the same team. Like, good teams are going to take advantage of it, especially good teams that have scoring guards.
The Sixers are going to take advantage of it.
I was going to say, the Sixers aren't even a good team.
Never mind, good teams.
But they have scoring guards. Oh. And boy, do they. They scored 74 points just from their backcourt.
Crazy.
So that was pretty bad, no, because we went in being like, ah, the big men are pretty bad. They're going to get eaten alive by Embiid. Well, Embiid might not be capable of doing that. And Kata actually had a good game. Fouled out, but he had a pretty good game. It's just they're going to go so small. And they're like, oh, it's positionless basketball. Yeah, positionless when you have like Tatum and Brown out there, like Porzingis. It's like, okay, whatever. You still have size.
Interchangeable wings, guys that can move, guys with some size.
But like LeBron and Wade, and like when they were starting to do that then, you're like, they're still 6'7". You know, like now it's like, well, we got 6'2", we got 6'4", we got another 6'4". Like, I don't know. Against certain teams, it's not just the rebounding. I know Mazzulla was preaching rebounding during the preseason. Oh, you're going to give up some boards.
And they won the rebounding battle last night. Yeah. I think it was only 10 offensive rebounds for Philly.
Yeah, so they didn't get eaten alive on that by any stretch. I think they'll take that, but it's also just the mismatch that you have and guys that can't really defend, certainly one-on-one, and then how good are they as help defenders?
Well, and exactly. So they have a bunch of guys who can't move on defense. None of their bigs, I feel like, move very well. Hauser can't move. I know people the last couple of years were like, oh, Hauser's actually not that bad of a defender. Not good.
No.
Never mind the small guards that they have. My issue would be, like, I think Pritchard is just tiny. I used to say this about Isaiah. and even Kemba. Like, I think Isaiah was small, so he got picked on. And yeah. Same thing with Pritchard. Simons just had brain farts last night.
Yeah, right.
Like, not it was. It's not about his size. Like, he has the frame to do it. And I just he left a shooter all alone. Or we first got into the game on the right wing, left him. And even Scal was like, oh, no. And Scal reacted to it again later on. I think it was still that first stint in the first quarter when he first got out there. Late in the first quarter, or late in the shot clock anyway, he fouled somebody with like 2 or 3 seconds left on the shot clock behind the backboard. Like, shooting up a prayer behind the back. It's like, what are you doing? So
he's going to have to.
With him, it's not his frame or anything like that. He had some horrible lapses last night defensively. When he first got in there, I felt like he settled in a bit, but him and Pritchard is going to be real tough when either of them are on the court, never mind both.
Yeah, I think with Simons, who I do like, and he's a great offensive player, he's going to just have to get used to playing games that matter. You know, so like when he first came into the league, he didn't play a lot, and those were like the better Blazer teams. And by better, I mean make the playoffs and lose in the first round. Right. And then when he took on more of a role, like when Lillard was gone and stuff, and he was more of a scoring guy, those weren't even playoff teams. So it's a lot different, and you see it in the NBA when there are a lot of guys, like somebody's scoring 20 points on every team. Just there's every team scores 110, so someone's scoring 20. And if you give up a play defensively, that you're like, I don't care, I'll get it back the next time. It's going to be different here. Like, they care more about the current Celtics than they do the current play. Not a shot at the fan base there, but just that's a rebuilding team. It's not a good team.
I don't think it's a shot. Yeah, I think it's
so.
Just
it's
reality.
Like, all right. So right now, yeah, like you're going to be under the magnifying glass more here than you would be there.
100%. So there's a lot to discuss last night. You were just getting into this, Keith, but I blame Mazzulla the most. Mm-hmm. For not getting Jaylen Brown a touch on either of those last two possessions. Mm-hmm. I blame him the most. You're the coach. This is what you do. I heard Curtis talking about this morning. Like, this is what you get paid for, to scheme up plays at the end of games.
Yeah.
Out of timeouts, baseline plays, sideline plays with 8 seconds. It's what you're paid for. You're not paid to play pickup basketball against the media and go press them and go have fun at the Auerbach Center and mm-hmm. run all over them and embarrass them. You're paid to drop plays at the end of games. So I have Mazzulla top of my list. But I don't think Jaylen's blameless in a spot like that.
No.
Like, there's a reason Tatum always got the ball because it was known that he wanted the ball. He made it known. Or, and I'd have to go back and really watch Jaylen on these plays.
Yeah.
But Tatum made sure he's going hard to the basketball to get it and making sure he's not just floating around there at the end of the game. So, yeah, I don't think Jaylen's blameless on that. I blame the coach the most. Draw it up. And if the play's drawn up for him, and it doesn't work, and you had to get the first one to Pritchard, fine, I get that. You had two cracks at it, and mm-hmm. the Sixers, who are not known as a good defensive team, put the clamps on Jaylen twice and shut him down on two different plays you schemed up for him.
Yeah.
That's on you, but Jaylen's not blameless. You got to want the basketball, and you got to come get the basketball.
Yeah, you can't get shut out there. You got to find a way to get it, and maybe Mazzulla, though. I'm with you. Mazzulla will go first on my list, because even though he didn't want the timeout, it's almost like he was looking for like a transition bucket to win the game, and if they got that and Jaylen Brown didn't touch it, then, you know, whatever. You look at that and you're like, hey, maybe you could have done it differently. Maybe you could have called timeout, but whatever. You do get the timeout. All right, so in that little huddle, make sure Jaylen Brown gets the ball. And he didn't. And I guess after the game, there was some talk that they were trying to get him the ball, but they couldn't. Peyton Pritchard also had a comment that he's like, oh, I should have hit, what did he say? I should have hit Sam or Simons. It's like, what Jaylen Brown? What about Jaylen Brown? Maybe he gets the ball, and even if he's not the one that shoots it, say he gets double or triple teamed. We've seen in certain, and then he finds a wide open guy.
That's why I just get the ball, touch, right? Especially on that 8 second one. Like, if he gets the inbounds with 1 second left, you better shoot it.
Yeah,
but 8 seconds left or whatever it was, eight and change. You get the basketball. Maybe a double team does come to you. Maybe it is a triple team. So find the open shooter. That would have been fine. But he needs a touch to draw the defense or get an open look. And the fact that they were both for Pritchard, who was coming off your bench a year ago. He's a bench player. And that's what he's been on a championship caliber team.
Yeah,
you as of yesterday still wanted him to come off the bench.
I do.
Now you're running up game-winning plays for him. Multiple game-winning plays for him. Like, I can't get on board
with
that.
Last year when we talked about, remember a couple of like the Jason Tatum late game misses? And even with Tatum on the team, we're like, maybe Brown should get a look.
Yes.
And now Tatum's not there, although he was there.
He's there.
He was on the sideline.
But he looked like the guy in Curious George without the hat.
Man with the yellow hat. Yeah, did a little bit like him. But I don't think there's any excuse. And that's something to watch in the first month here of the season. There'll be another situation like that, I'm sure, where they're down. You know, maybe it's a shot clock and they're down a point, two, three. Does Jaylen Brown get shut out of that possession too? I don't think so, but we'll see.
617-779-7937. Frustrating one for the Celtics last night. They choke it away. How much of that's on Mazzulla? Him not wanting a timeout there was embarrassing. We should get back into that. And I don't believe this, Keith. I think Mazzulla's a pretty good coach. I think that's going to prove out over the course of the year. He's not the best coach in the league, but I think he's a pretty good coach. I think the guys are going to play hard for him, and I think if they're a top six seed, that will, you know, sort of validate Mazzulla as a coach in the NBA. But there's a lot of people who believe without Tatum this year and without Holiday, yeah, Porzingis, Horford, among others, without the high-end championship-caliber talent, he's about...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To get exposed. It's just not a satisfactory answer from Joe Mazzulla. Oh, just got the ball in our playmaker's hands and just got to go make a play. You trust him to make a play.
Yeah.
That's... First of all, is Peyton Pritchard your quote-unquote the playmaker whose hands the ball should be in at the end of the game?
I'd put him third at best.
At best.
Yeah. You could argue Simons, but I would say Brown and White.
Jaylen and Derek White should be the top two, no questions asked.
Definitely. Man, wait, Kata was going last night. Maybe my guy Nemus Kata.
So at best, Pritchard is three.
Of course, Kata was out of the game at that point because he's a little too aggressive.
Out, but I understand your point. He goes. Yeah, well, you just want to get it in your playmaker's hands at the end of the game, and what else can you do?
Is it a half-court heave with no time left on the clock? Then it's Pritchard.
Oh, that's your guy.
That's
buzzer beater from deep. You want Pritchard.
That's Pritchard.
I agree.
But so he's also – it was two plays, Joe. It was two plays.
It was two plays,
and they were both Pritchard, which bothers me.
Yeah.
And then
– maybe he's playing the percentages at that point. He's like, well, you're not going to miss both.
The other part that bothers me in that analysis, he's like, well, just get it in your playmaker's hands and just they got to do what they do. Your whole thing's two-on-ones, Joe.
Yeah.
That's your whole thing.
Yeah.
And so –
you're looking for an advantage somewhere.
That's what I thought you were looking for. Pritchard on the first shot went one-on-two.
No, that's not, the opposite.
That's not 2-on-1.
The Sixers like that.
That's one-on-two.
That's good for
them. Find a 2-on-1. Find a 2-on-1. What does a 2-on-1 present? Two shooters on the 2-on-1? If two shooters on the 2-on-1, you...
So, look,
yeah,
I just went
the other way with it.
That felt like very, very weaselly by Joe to just be like, just get your playmaker's hands at the end of the game and they do what they do. Well, first of all, that wasn't the playmaker that I wanted with the ball.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the next guy on the list that I wanted with the ball. You went to him two times in a row. And your whole thing is find the 2-on-1. Your guy on the first one went 1-on-2. What the hell are you talking about?
It was not great. No, that part was not great. Yeah, they just the whole fourth quarter was a bit of a mess because as you're watching the game unfold, you're like, all right, VJ Edgecombe is having an awesome game, right? You're watching that in real time. Joel Embiid's a non-factor. You're like, all right, that's strange. Like the guy's like, he's done. Like maybe he's just absolutely washed.
Career,
he's
might,
cooked.
Like I'm not panicking about the cooked. Celtics. If I were a Sixers fan, I would be panicking about Embiid's career.
But
right
like,
now.
So as you're taking it in the game, like that's one of the first thoughts you probably have is like, all right, he's washed. They got a pretty good backcourt though, and they're exposing the Celtics. But you're up by 13 in the fourth quarter at home. And Embiid's not a factor. You're like, all right, you should be able to hang on to this one. And then it just kind of slips away. So not only was the offensive possession in the last go questionable, but the whole quarter defensively.
Yep.
You gave up 42 points.
42, and if Edgecombe could hit some free throws, it'd be 44.
Yeah. They went 7 of 11, the Sixers did, from 3 in the fourth quarter alone. And, yeah, they missed 4 free throws, so they could have even had more. But, yeah, just a kind of a letdown all the way around. And – you know, next time, that's what we'll keep. Well, just mark it down. First trip when they had a chance to win the game down 1, Jaylen Brown never touched the ball. In fact, only one player touched the ball. It didn't work.
That's what's very weird about it. It's like, okay, Jaylen Brown didn't get a touch on either play. Okay, so who did on those two? It must have been different players,
just
right?
Just one man.
No, it was Peyton Pritchard both times. Yeah. Weird. Okay. Meanwhile, Joe Mazzulla didn't want a timeout.
No, he was pretty emphatic. You could see him.
With 8 seconds left, he was very, very upset, stamping around on the sidelines when the Celtics didn't go and Jaylen Brown
was waving him.
Decided to call a timeout.
He was sending him home like the anti-Kyle Hudson.
Bizarro Kyle Hudson was coaching the Celtics last night. Gary in Westford has a good conspiracy theory about what went down at the end of the game. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, well, I think that Jaylen Brown didn't get the ball in the last 8 seconds was because he called the timeout. I believe that Mazzulla was making a point saying that, you know, he's the commander-in-chief of the whole thing, and he wanted them to run the play with the 8 seconds left.
Okay.
Gary sounds down on Mazzulla.
Not a bad theory.
Yeah. Icing him out?
Mazzulla, whether you like him or not, he's a wild man, which I appreciate most of the time. He goes too far with it here and there, but I appreciate that most of the time.
Yeah, he has.
Again,
in the past.
I don't hate him as a coach. But despite today's analysis, I don't hate him as a coach.
I gotcha.
But he's also very petty. He's a petty man. He's proven that. Mm. So and I think the media game is a great example of how Tom Petty he is. Yep. So, yeah, could he have been petty in that moment and said, I'm not drawing up a play for Jaylen?
I'm not drawing up
a good play for Jaylen.
It's risky because you also still want to win the game. You should still want to win the game. Although,
I mean, he just got a big, giant contract extension. Maybe he's not feeling the same pressure that we're applying to it. That Chauncey Billups has to win every game.
You got
to
ask yourself that. I mean, the NBA, people are looking into the NBA everywhere you turn at this point.
Well, Chauncey Billups was just tied up with the mob, Keith, in a poker game. I'm sure it had nothing to do with gambling on games.
Terry Rozier, Jonte Porter, those guys are all in the up and up.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe Peyton Pritchard.
I don't think it's a bad little theory. Yeah. Could Joe Mazzulla in the wrong moment in the timeout? He's pissed at Jaylen for calling a timeout, which, by the way, was 1,000% the right thing to do.
Yeah,
but
you had 8 seconds. You had one timeout left. Let's get it. Got the rebound.
But then you see the plays that Mazzulla ran up, and it's like, oh, maybe he didn't have much in his back pocket, which is why he didn't want him to call a timeout.
Go ahead.
He's like, guys, just go get a helter skelter layup. I got nothing for you.
But so there's
you
also,
think I can scheme something up on the grease board? I got nothing. Go get a layup. I don't have a good play. Run it for Pritchard.
There's also a big difference between, you know, with 1.8 seconds or whatever it was, and
8 seconds.
1.8. So what I'm saying is, like, when you're inbounding the ball, and if they double deny Jaylen Brown and you get it into Peyton Pritchard, well, at that point, sink or swim with Peyton Pritchard. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, it's not both. But the first one makes no sense. Either inbound it to Jaylen Brown, or if you don't, if you can't get it to him for some reason,
inbound it to Pritchard, and then Pritchard has to get it to Jaylen.
And Brown has to be aggressive and go over there 100%. And just take it from him.
100%.
And just, like, hand it to him. You see that all the time in the league where, like, the star player is like, all right, I didn't get it on the inbound, but I'm just going to go get – you have enough time to go hand it to him like a quarterback to a running back and then clear out of the way.
Yep.
But they didn't do that.
No, so, again, Mazzulla's number one on my list for that end-of-game sequence. But Jaylen's not blameless
on that.
No,
Jaylen Brown's on the list.
He's on the list. Tony's in Revere on the C's. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, hi. Peyton Pritchard, let's face it, is a three-point shooter, nothing more than that. He goes inside the three-point line, he gets swallowed up. He's not Jaylen Brunson, okay?
Okay, well, he had just made a layup. Tony, he had just made a layup in the paint on the possession or two prior, but go ahead.
Yeah. I saw the last two plays. He got eaten up alive underneath. He's too small. He's not Brunson. And another one is Sam Hauser. He's a three-point shooter. That's all these guys are. That's all they can do. You're asking them to go inside. Forget it. It's over.
Okay, so
It's over.
The whole season.
Yeah. Hi.
I do like these back-to-back callers. So a couple things on Pritchard and Hauser. He's not entirely wrong. Those guys are three-point shooter. Hauser is just a three-point shooter.
Uh-huh.
But it's also a valuable skill in the NBA. Joe Mazzulla, just ask him about it. He's thrilled that he has a guy like that. Pritchard did make a layup before. They're trying to extend the game. They were down three. Instead of taking a three, scored a two. He also did have five rebounds in the game. He's not Jalen Brunson. He's not even, because he's topical, Chauncey Billups. He's not one of these point guards that's going to, you know, he's not Tony Parker. Right. I get it. But, like, he was in there, and you can't say that the second look wasn't a good look.
No, the second look was a good look. They shouldn't have run it for Pritchard.
That's right.
But, because Scal was talking about this on the postgame show, he's like, well, you need to run a play for a guy who can elevate with 1 second left. So I agree with that, but for Pritchard, that's not a bad look.
You know what Pritchard was yesterday shooting twos?
Oh, I believe he was 1 for 7 on threes, yeah. So I'm going to guess he was pretty good from two.
5 of 7 from two.
Yeah, he just made a layup with 9 seconds left. Now,
but that guy only watched the last two plays. That's well, what he said.
Apparently, he missed that one. But okay, I do think they have a 3-point issue, and I was very amused.
But they didn't take like an obscene amount,
okay, and it wasn't an obscene amount. But I was very amused by Barstool Greeny last night.
Okay,
he's like, Celtics took more twos than threes. And I was like, so that now is a justification for like, yeah, they didn't launch too many threes?
They're fine.
Oh, they took more twos. Great. They should take more twos. I know last year they didn't. Last year they took more threes than twos. So that's progress, I guess. But that's justification for good shot selection?
But they're going.
Wow, they took more twos than threes. That's justification for it? That's wild.
No. But they should. And that's not like, oh, they all changed the philosophy or Joe Mazzulla will change things. So here's the. They're going to shoot way less threes this year. Because look at their lineups from a year ago versus their lineups now. First of all, Jaylen Brown only took four. And if he's going to take a lot of shots, he, I don't think, wants to take a ton of threes. There'll be games where he does. But a Jaylen Brown-led offense, I don't think he's going to be dominated by the three. Whereas Jason Tatum, as talented as he is offensively,
he'll launch. He loves the step back.
Step back launch. Especially when he hits a couple. Yeah. Forget it. There's three or four more. Also, who were your big men last year? Porzingis and Horford. Who shot more threes than twos?
Yeah,
Horford shot more threes.
Those
now
guys
you
are
have
jump
Kata.
Shooters, yeah.
Kata might as well be Time Lord out there. Kata's not shooting threes. So between Kata and Brown, basically, so Brown's shots, which are going to be a lot of twos, and then Kata being out there, as opposed to Tatum and Porzingis and Horford, who all just launched, I'd be surprised. Like, the nights they take more threes than twos is going to be pretty shocking.
Yeah, and his justification went further. He goes, 7 of their final 11 field goal attempts were twos. It's like, okay, well, two of them were in a 1-point game. They didn't need to be launching threes there.
Well, so Peyton prior Pritchard to that, tried to win the game twice and missed. He also tried to extend the game, which they kind of gave, you know, give you the layup, but they kind of don't not give you the layup. And then the other one was Tillman trying to make a putback. So there's four of your shots right there.
But my point is, before they even took those last two shots, which should have been twos, it was a 1-point game. You didn't need a three.
Yeah.
It was 5 twos versus 6 threes.
Dude.
It's like, what are we talking about?
Xavier Tillman took 3 threes and Luka Garza took 2. So they're still going to launch. Don't get me wrong. They're gonna take threes. I would think 40 threes is more like what they take?
No,
43?
Look,
it's going to be more like that than some of those nights last year where you're like, did they just take 60 threes?
I don't think last night was egregious. I just don't think we should be throwing them a parade.
I got it. Yeah,
when
yeah.
It's like, wow, they took more twos than threes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can't complain. It's like, well, no. I still don't think their shot selection's great. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We'll get back to the Patriots coming up at 1 o'clock. Some numbers on Drake May versus that Browns defense. And we can, I guess, decipher what sort of picture that paints for Sunday's game. But coming up next, most Thursdays at 1245, it's the Return of the Madness.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kiefer Madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Investigators say the two believed Anthony Constantine and Brian Reynolds.
He's partially nude, rude, and crude.
It turns out that driver was the wedding guest, the bride, as you see there, riding shotgun.
It's basically, I'm tired of the government steamrolling over people, and they can just kiss my
Regina.
All right, here we go. Time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, this story takes place in the great state of Maine.
Oh.
Yeah, some of our Maine listeners might have actually attended this event. It was just a couple of weeks back. Our buddy Dice actually messaged me. I had somehow missed this, you know, and it missed me as well.
It flew a little under the radar,
yeah.
But Dice alerted us to it. Okay.
And good. I think this feels like next year an event we might have to actually attend.
Right.
So let's find out what's going on up in Maine.
Well, this is interesting. You've heard of hog calling and even husband calling, but some strange noises were heard in Glenburn, Maine over the weekend.
Oh, no.
So hog calling. Yeah. I think she's talking about Hogdale.
Yeah,
he called the Celtics game last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
he's doing Celtics games too?
Oh, Hog does every game.
I didn't realize that.
He's like Sean McDonough.
I knew he was doing the pass.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
I think he's branching out, doing some hoops. I know he's obviously synonymous with baseball. He does a little bit of football, and now some C's.
Hoopdale.
Thank you.
that's what he's been. Okay, so shout out Hog. I didn't realize that.
So she's like, you guys know Hog calls.
Weird noises?
And then husband calls, which I guess is supposed to be funny. I don't know what that even is.
Like call your husband and don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah,
one of those. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I guess.
So like it's Maine moose call?
Moose call. Good guess.
Moose call.
It's not moose call.
Okay.
Well, this is interesting. You've heard of hog calling and even husband calling, but some strange noises were heard in Glenburn, Maine over the weekend. Take a listen.
Someone's taking a number two is what that sounds like.
Is that the competition you think?
Yeah.
Do you have any special skills?
This is a...
You still thinking moose?
Yeah, no, it's a defecating on command competition. I know what this is. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
This is it was what it sounded like in my house when Peyton Pritchard got the ball with 1.8 seconds left.
Oh, my goodness. That is sick.
Any more guesses? So you think it's got something to do with...
Well, I guess defecating on command and moose.
Yeah, moose.
Do I have any more guesses? I don't think so. What's going on? Nothing the FCC will approve.
That guy's just yelling.
Sounds Sounds like Dennis.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Mid-coitus.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting. No need to panic. That was Sasquatch calling contest.
Sasquatch. Right there.
Don't mess with Sasquatch. So Sasquatch, of course, a magical being. We don't know exactly what the Sasquatch sounds like.
Well, maybe you don't.
Well, these people think they have a pretty good idea of it, and then they put a little competition on. So they people go up on stage. They have a microphone. They're allowed, I guess, a few seconds. And they just kind of belt out a different kind of scream, as it were, which I like. Not bad.
Real good.
Sasquatch calling contest. Folks there showed off their best.
I don't know what's wrong with that guy.
Yeah, was he laughing? Choking?
Maybe he was coughing? Eating. Maybe he was eating right before he went on.
Was that his Sasquatch impression?
Maybe that was his shot at it.
Yeah.
Folks there showed off their best.
It's a sick Sasquatch. Like a COVID Sasquatch.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do a coronavirus Sasquatch.
Showed off their best Bigfoot impressions. Was organized by the Maine Bigfoot Foundation.
Which we need to get involved
with. They got to sponsor something on this
show.
The
Maine Bigfoot Foundation?
If they got enough money to put on this competition, they have money to... Sales department.
Yeah, let's give them a
Sometimes
caller.
Sales reaches out from time to time. They're like, hey, would you endorse this? Would you endorse that?
Bigfoot?
Maine Sas... What are they called again?
Maine Bigfoot.
I'm sorry, the Maine Bigfoot...
Company?
Department? What were
Contest.
They called again?
Folks, there's...
Get them on the show.
Yeah.
They need to be sponsoring something. Maybe just Kiefer Madness. They need to be sponsoring something.
It would make a lot of sense.
That would make a ton of sense, yeah.
7-year-old Gannon, who you heard from last in that video.
So I believe it was this gentleman here. It was a 7-year-old.
Okay.
It's one of those guys.
So my son is 7. There's no way he's capable.
You don't think
of
he can belt out a Sasquatch?
That sort of volume? I don't think so.
7!
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. You gotta get him a... Get him a good microphone, maybe.
I
just
guess.
Turn that up to 11.
Yeah, maybe.
Have
maybe
him have
you really
it.
Crank
yeah,
that.
Aid it a little bit by that.
Good point. Good point.
7-year-old Gannon, who you heard from last in that video, walked away with the Bigfoot bragging rights.
Bigfoot bragging rights. Yeah, I heard it.
He's got the.
I got it. It just. You want to know what my ex-wife's mating call sounds like?
Nailed the text.
Not bad.
Nailed the text
well
line.
Done.
Pretty good.
When
pretty
you're right, when you're right, line, you're right, yeah. Texters.
7-year-old Gannon, who you heard from last in that video, walked away with the Bigfoot bragging rights and $100.
$100?
Yeah, for
crazy.
A 7-year-old, that's big
really?
Money.
They have some money to spend.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Good, okay, good.
How about this guy, big timer over here? Oh, yeah. For a 7-year-old, that's good. Oh, for you, you turned down $100. Must be pretty nice doing the news up there.
Seriously.
Turn your nose at $100.
Ten hams?
10 hams. How many Cirillos?
11 of them, I think.
Yeah, close to
something
11.
Something like 11 yeah. Cirillos. Yeah, right around.
You have
it.
To give one back.
Yeah.
And $100.
$100?
Yeah, for
crazy.
A 7-year-old, that's big
right?
money.
More than a few people at the festival say time spent in the woods turned them from skeptics into believers. A sighting, perhaps. Organizers plan to host.
Kind of a sexy
news
voice.
I do like how she said that. I like it very much,
voice?
Actually. Yeah, say
kind
it again.
Kind of horned up.
Yeah, play that
Time
again.
Spent in the woods turned them from skeptics into believers. A sighting, perhaps. Organizers plan to host the state's first ever Bigfoot Festival next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm liking whatever. Yeah. Whatever's going on. Suddenly I've been swayed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
You know, well, I was.
Why didn't they just hold it right then?
Right.
Yeah, a part point. Of the festival.
Oh, wait a minute. So now these guys are bagging on the festival. So she's like, hey, they have a festival coming up. And this guy's like, why do they do it today? Well, they didn't. I don't know. They're promoting it, I guess.
They're like the NFL. You want to dominate the conversation. You know, you want to spread out all your events.
Not a one and done.
No, you want to dominate the calendar for
Hunting
a full
Bigfoot,
year.
12 months.
The Sam Squanch Council gets it.
Yes.
You want to spread out your event. You don't do it all at once.
They're very dismissive.
Just one day. You want to dominate
Organizers
the calendar.
Organizers plan to host the state's first ever Bigfoot Festival next month.
You know, I wasn't.
Why didn't they just hold it right then?
Right.
Yeah, a part point. Of the festival.
Okay.
We don't need three people doing the banter. You just need two people doing the banter.
It wasn't her greatest defense, if
no.
I'm being honest.
No.
Yeah,
she should have turned and looked at him and went. The big loss there was not having them do impressions themselves back and forth at each other. But
right there on the news. So did you have a favorite in there?
I think the first guy's energy was my favorite. That's just a guy yelling.
That's how I sound in my car
Correct.
Most days on my commute
yeah.
here.
That's literally a guy yelling.
I am making that noise at a car in front of me. taking up two lanes constantly on my drive home. That's me on Storrow Drive.
Yeah. This is Adam Jones after he took Joel Embiid over points and rebounds midway through the first quarter.
But they weren't just overs, Keith. They were
way overs.
They were alternate overs. Oh, I adjusted the line upward.
You maniac.
Well, yeah. That's my favorite.
That's a good one. That one actually sounds like that's what maybe Sasquatch would sound like.
I thought that was a real Sasquatch. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen any of people. My guess is that's a real Sasquatch.
That guy sounds like he's in like Lamb of Death or something. Or Lamb of God.
So what are you proposing? We go
to the event.
No.
Do the show and have the people on and do the calls on the show live.
Is it just a road show where we're doing that, or are we actually partaking in the event?
I'd have to fine tune mine. I don't know what it sounds like.
We got a year.
Yeah.
Well, 11 months, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We got time.
We'll get there. Yeah, I think so.
So I think we should participate. Not just
want us to be on there?
Not just, well, if we're going all the way there, I think we should participate in the event.
Nick or Billy, you guys have a Sasquatch impression up your sleeve?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
Boston Sasquatch.
Just check it.
All right, well, we'll fine tune this. I think this is a good event to have on our calendar,
like it a lot.
On our radar.
I think it's going to be good.
Ken and Mike, if you're listening.
Yep. This is our plan.
We want it. Give us till October. This is an October event.
Yeah, we're going to need to be back.
Just give us till then.
That's not going to be a year from now.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. You give us till then. We're in good shape. So that's the Madness, Kiefer Madness. Every Tuesday, most Thursdays, here on Jones and Keith. 617-779-7937. Let's get back into the matchup. Patriots offense versus Browns defense. Who has the upper hand? We have some numbers for you for what should be a good test for Drake May this weekend. That's next.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.